Hello and welcome back to the PAL with Reb T, the Pirkei Avos Learning with Reb T with a new name, the show where we talk a Mishnah of Pirkei Avos per day with sagely commentary and practical advice to say. I'm your host, Reb T. We're talking a Mishnah a day with some sagely advice and practical advice and how we could try to live more ethically, more morally, using this wonderful sefer, my favorite sefer. So let's talk. Rabbi Shmuel is joining us again. He started with us before, and now we're continuing with him. Hu haya omer. He used to say, Al tehi dan yechidi. Do not judge alone. She'ein dan yechidi ela echad. For none judges alone except one. Ve'al tomar kavlu dati. Do not say, accept my view, shehein rasha'in v'lo ata, for they are permitted to, but not you. Let's talk a little bit more about what's going on here. The Mishnah expands on the previous Mishnah's theme of avoiding, whenever possible, serving as a judge. While a recognized judicial expert is legally permitted to adjudicate monetary cases alone, it is morally correct to avoid doing so, as Rav Rash and Rav Yon explain. Rav Yishmal, referring to a judge who was required to handle a case and was unsuccessful at convincing the litigants to compromise, warns the judge not to adjudicate alone. Rather, he should join with two colleagues to form a tribunal, as Rav Yon Maganovus and Achasid Yavis explains. By forming a tribunal with his colleagues, the responsibility for a mistaken ruling will not rest on his shoulders alone, as Rav Yon explains. In addition, by serving on a tribunal, he avoids arousing the animosity of the losing party, since the loser has no way of knowing whether a particular judge sided with him or against him, as Tosfos Yontov explains. Similarly, since he is able to discuss the relevant arguments and the details of the case with his colleagues, he is less likely to issue an erroneous judgment, sparing himself the responsibility for depriving the truly innocent party of his rightful property. The judge also avoids the pitfall of haughtiness, since the tribunal's rulings are issued in the name of the entire group. An individual judge cannot expect any glory or credit for the ruling. Thus, by serving on a tribunal, he is saved from the dangers that Rav Yossi cautioned against in the previous Mishnah, as Chassid Yavis explains. Rav notes that if both litigants agree to present their case to an expert solitary judge, the judge may accept the case without any moral compunction. For none judges alone except God, only God, who is the one true deity, may judge alone, as Rav Rashi and Rav Yon explain. Only God with his infallible wisdom may judge alone without fear of erring in judgment. Man, however, should judge only if he forms a tribunal with his colleagues so that he may deliberate with them and so render a true verdict, as Machzor Vitri, Karbon Ha'edah, Tirshami Sanhedrin explain. Also, only God must judge alone, since it is truly impossible for any of his creations to form a tribunal with him. However, a human can and should join with his peers, even if they are of a lesser stature than he, before adjudicating. As Magen Avos explains, that God judges alone is derived from the verse in Iyo, V'hu ke'echad umi yeshivenu. But he is alone, and who can reverse him, as Machzor Vitri Magen Avos explains. And don't say, accept my view, for they are permitted to, but not you. This clause, too, is addressed to the expert jurist who has followed the Mishnah's recommendation to judge as part of a tribunal. He should not force his colleagues to accept his opinion, arguing that as an expert he could have ruled without them, while the two non-experts could not rule without him, serving as the third member of the tribunal. Rather, once the expert judge decided to adjudicate as part of a tribunal, the law is decided by the majority opinion. Thus, he cannot force them to adopt his opinion. On the contrary, the two non-experts may actually compel the sole expert judge to accept their view. As Rav Magen Avos explains, alternatively, while they may voluntarily accept the sole opinion of the expert, he may not compel them to do so, as Rav Yonah explains. Lastly, Meiri suggests that this statement is not limited to judges, but is applicable to everyone. One should never force his opinion on others. We should always be careful not to judge others, like we said, and we want to make sure to be done l'kav z'chus. Don't force your opinion on others. You can have your opinion, you can have your point of view, but don't force it on someone else. I want to also remind you, Reb T here reminding you that all previous seasons and all previous episodes, including the first half of this season, is on Anchor. We're switching over to this format for sheer enjoyment, but to listen to all the previous episodes and the previous two seasons before season three, which we're in now, go to anchor.fm/TANIG. anchor.fm/TaniG. That's www.anchor.fm/TaniG. Type it into any web browser. You could also find us on iTunes and Google Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, all of those sources. This is the podcast that was originally called the PAL with Tani G. We're switching it over to the PAL with Reb T on a new format, but all the previous seasons can be seen on the previous format again at anchor.fm/TANIG. Join us next time as we talk fulfilling the Torah in poverty and ultimately in wealth, but not doing that will be the reverse. Join us next time here on the PAL with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.